I started a few weeks ago with a message, Entering a Promised Land. And so I'm going to continue on that theme, Entering a Promised Land. Because here as a church, we're moving into a new season, and I'm trusting that as individuals as well, we're moving into a new season, a season that is deeper in God, better in God, more real, just going further, you know. So, the promised land. What is the promised land? The promised land is an area, an inheritance, a place that God sets aside and says, guys, that, I'm going to give it to you. This is what I want to give to you. This is my promise to you. This is my plan for you. But this little snag, do you want it? Do you want what God has planned for you? Do you really want that promised land? Are you happy with your little bit? Are you fine with being anxious? Are you fine with sometimes being depressed? Are you fine with struggling through life? Are you fine with being intimidated? Are you fine with struggling with sin? Anybody? I shared it with the young people at the camp, but you will never be able to change anything if you are willing to tolerate it. You will never be able to change anything if you are willing to tolerate it. If you're fine with it, then you're going to have it. That's what you're going to settle for. That's what you're going to get. So I want to... I'm trusting in our hearts it will stir something to say, God, no, I'm not happy with my 1% of the inheritance, my 1% of the fullness of what you've planned for me. God, I want it all. I want it all. Can you say that? I want it all. Okay. I want it all. Yeah, it's really, that doesn't sound like you really want it. I want it all. Okay, let's try that again. I want it all. I want it all. You need to say, I want all of God. That's why so many people go through life, Christianity, church. They go to church, they leave church unchanged. They go through the motions, read their Bible, pray a little bit. But it doesn't change them because they don't have something on the inside of them that says, I want it. I'm reading it in the Bible, and that is for me. Not for somebody else, it's for me. This is what God wants to do. Are you going to settle? I think it's silly. You know, if God has this awesome gift for you and you don't receive it, you don't take it, you don't embrace it. Okay, so there's something that needs to happen for you and me to receive our promised land. This scripture speaks of it. It says, have I not commanded you? Now, this is God speaking to Joshua, the commander of Israel, and they're about to go into the promised land. And now God is speaking to Joshua. God knows that the promised land is not easy. It's not just easy to take it. So he gives him this command. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be confident in God. Be strong. And of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. If you want to take the land, there's this strength you need to receive from God. There's a place you need to take up in the Spirit where you can receive strength to take the land. I want to share with you some of those things. What's the key for that? Okay, just to give you some background. Fourth dimension. There are three dimensions around us in general, but there's a fourth dimension. What is the fourth dimension? The fourth dimension is the spirit realm. Okay? And how it works is every higher dimension has control over the lower one. So the fourth dimension or the spirit realm controls the natural realm. God is spirit. He said, let there be light. And in the natural realm, we had light. Okay, so the fourth dimension or the spirit realm is everything flows out from there. That's very important to understand. Because you see, often we're seeing a mountain in front of us, we're seeing a challenge in front of us, and now we try to address it in the natural. Now, don't do it in the natural. Do it in the Spirit, because the Spirit controls the natural. It is God that moves mountains, but God is in the Spirit. So and that's what I'm going to come to, if we change or affect the Spirit realm, then the natural realm changes. But so many of us are operating on the natural realm, but we don't realize that there is a spiritual dynamic behind it. And that's where the battle should actually be fought. And so I know you're struggling with something in the natural, but it's not changing. Because you've not taken you need to take your promised land in the Spirit. Can you say Spirit? Spirit. You need to take the promised land in the Spirit. The victory is first in the Spirit. So I'm reminding some of us about this. You're supposed to know this, but it's so easy for us to fall back. You're striving, doing stuff in our own strength, and we're not getting a victory. So, for instance, anxiety or depression. Maybe you're struggling with depression. What's the answer? Pills? Well, you're only going to address it on the natural level. It will not change you. That's not the root problem. That's not the source. The source is probably a spiritual. Usually, 99% of the time, the pills are not the answer. But change in the Spirit gives breakthrough in the natural. So, what about sin? I heard this fascinating testimony about a lady. It was on Christian TV, and she shared how she was a porn star. So she was an actor in pornography movies, porn movies, and she says she was a prostitute, and she says that was bad. But she says the most amazing thing was when she entered the studio where they would make these horrible movies. She said, as she would step into that place, she says the evil that she experienced hovering in that place was so much more than the prostitution that she was involved with. And she explained it as follows. She said that, like in Christianity, as a Christian, you would experience the anointing. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit on somebody's life. But you can find the opposite anointing as well, which is an evil spirit that hovers, a spirit of lust, a spirit that knows that if it anoints those videos and those pictures and those things, it's going to entice men and women all over the world into sin. So if you struggle with pornography or you struggle with some type of addiction, your problem is not necessarily the pictures or the videos or things. Your problem is a spiritual problem. There's a spiritual thing that needs to be broken in your life, and it needs to be addressed. Jy, ons gooi sommer vinnig hier so aan die begin vanaand. Ons praat reguit. Because you need to realize that so often are we struggling with something and we try to address it, but the root is not that issue. It's your mountain, but it's not going to move by pushing it. You're going to address it by stepping into the Spirit. You're going to address it by stepping into the fourth dimension, into the Spirit. So how do we take the promised land? You take it through prayer. You take it through prayer. It's through prayer that we take dominion of the spirit world. It is through prayer. And we often forget this. That's why Jesus said we must pray, let your will be done, Lord. Let your kingdom come, God. Because it affects the spirit and then it affects the natural. Okay, so I'm going to give you some background, which is so critical. So few Christians understand this. There's one bit I get out of the book, Intercessory Prayer from Dutch Sheets, which is brilliant, absolute brilliant book. What you and I need to understand is that every evening when you go to bed, when you sleep and you wake up the next morning, what has happened? You have been disconnected from God on one level. You have to now reconnect. How do you do that? Through prayer. In the morning, you get up, you pray, and you reconnect with God, and you take up your place in the Spirit. Okay, so let me give you some background. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. Now, this is critical. Why do we pray? Why is it important to pray? If God is so strong, so powerful, the sovereign Lord of the universe, why should we pray? And does it really make a difference? Prayer. is God trying to keep us busy? Okay, guys, you just pray because then you don't, you know, that just keep you busy. No, I'm sure God is not into wasting our time. Time is valuable for God. Okay, let me give you some background. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth. Can you say all the earth? All the earth. It's very important to understand this, that God gave mankind, Adam and Eve and their descendants, dominion over all the earth, over every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds, and every other living thing that moves on the earth. This is so profound. God, the creator of everything, delegates his authority to mankind. He gives to mankind the authority. He says, guys, you reign and you rule on this earth. That's what happened. He gave them the authority. God made a decision. He actually inhibited himself and he said, everything that happens on this earth will happen through man. So why is the world such a mess? Why is the world such a mess? Not God. Us. Mankind messed up. We messed up this world. Now look at this quote from Dutch Sheets. He says, so complete and final was Adam's authority over the earth that he, not just God, had the ability to give it away to another. What does that mean? That means God gave mankind the earth and said, I give you so much authority that you can actually give it away to somebody else, the whole earth. All your authority, you can give it away. And that's exactly what they did. Satan came and deceived Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and they gave their authority over the earth away. Let me explain to you this way. Parable, castle. We've got a castle. Inside castle, that is the earth. Outside castle, that's the spirit realm. That's where God lives. Originally, God made this castle with the earth inside, and he said, okay, mankind, you're the kings. There, boom, royalty. There you go. All the authority, reign and rule. Then what happened? They gave their authority away. They messed up by disobeying God. And so they basically put Satan on the throne. Lucifer, the devil, became the lord of this world. And closed the door, drawbridge and said, God, sorry, you're not allowed in here anymore. Because now the devil, Lucifer, is the lord of this empire. Okay, let me show you this. This is true. It's in the scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. This is where the devil comes to Jesus and he tempts him. Now look at what he says. This is fascinating. The second temptation when the devil tempts Jesus. He says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, Jesus, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. I think that's brilliant. That's like fascinating. That's like, wow. Some of you might not have seen that before. It's amazing. So Satan comes to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't say, it's not yours, it's mine. He doesn't contradict him. He doesn't correct him about his understanding. Jesus, in a sense, agrees with him. Yep, this is all yours. But Jesus has come to take it back. He's come to take back all authority. He's come to take back that castle so that his will can be done. Now look at this, another quote there. So complete and final was God's decision to do things on earth through human beings that it cost God the incarnation to regain what Adam gave away. Okay, what does that mean? That means the only way that God could take back this lost planet was if God would become a man. Because it can only be done through a man. Everything that happens on this planet is dependent upon man's partnership with God or the devil. Those are the spiritual forces behind everything that happens on this earth. And each human being must make the decision, am I going to be a vessel for God? Or am I going to be a vessel for the enemy to work on this earth? So complete and final was God's decision to do things on earth through human beings that it cost God the incarnation. God had to pay a price. He had to become a man. Jesus had to become a man, live a perfect life, and take back what the enemy has stolen. So that's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he had to go and live a perfect life as he died on that cross. And he said, "It is finished." He kicked somebody's butt. And he took back. And he took back what was stolen. It's very important to understand as a foundation for why prayer is so important. So the enemy, Satan, that was in that castle, enthroned, was then kicked off his throne. And Jesus came and sat on that throne. And that's why Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So he came to sit on that throne. And that is why Jesus came, to take back all of the world. Okay, now, why pray? Number one, so you can connect with God. That's number one. Number two is so that we can connect God with the world, or the world with God. You see, you are the inside man. Can you say that? Inside man or woman. You are the inside man. Let me show you the same parable. With this castle, if you were not a believer at some stage, the Bible speaks that you were then full of darkness, and most probably you were standing on that wall with God and his armies on the outside, and you were throwing stones at him and saying, "Stay away, we don't want you here." That's what mankind is doing at this stage, throwing God out of the schools, out of government, everywhere. "Wait, God, we don't want you here. We don't want you to reign. Go away." That's sort of what mankind is doing. And then, when you become a believer, it's like you become part of the kingdom of God. You become a believer, a Christian. You turn from your sin. You become full of light. You have a change of mind. You say, "Whoa, we want God here. We need God here." And so what do? You're the inside man. You're the inside woman in that castle. And we have the authority in Christ to say, "Open that drawbridge. Open that. Open that. Let God come in." We on the inside. God has to work through a human being. So we have to pray. And we have to say, "God, come." We have to say, "God, break through into this realm. Come and reign. Come and rule." That is what God wants us to pray for. Humans were forever to be God's link to authority and activity on the earth. So why pray? Because if you don't pray, God can't move. If you don't listen to what God is leading you to do, he can't move. He's waiting for a man or a woman to agree with him and to pray his will into being. Prayer is absolutely critical. There is a battle happening in the heavenlies. And there's quite a few scriptures that I can share about this. Or maybe to give you some. I've had a few interesting experiences in my life when it comes to prayer. The one time, I'm going to share one with you. I was in a town in South Africa. And the one evening around 9 o'clock, I felt God speaking to my heart, like a soft, gentle voice in my heart saying, take your Bible, take your flashlight, and go walk. I sometimes do that, or did that. Go walk, and I go pray in the streets as I'm walking. So it was 9 o'clock the evening, it was pitch dark, and I felt God saying, now go walk. And so, okay. So I went and I walked, and I heard about a specific place in the town that is sort of a private club where men come together there and they do secret stuff. And so I heard about this place, and I felt in my heart that I should go there, but I said, no, I don't want to go there. It's dark. It's an alley. Lord, I don't want to go there. I mean, it's like, you know what can happen. Anyway, after about an hour of walking around, I felt, okay, fine. So I went there. I walked down. So it's like this road and it's a cul-de-sac on the end and these street lamps in the street. And so I'm walking down the street. And I'm coming before this building, and then I felt God say, okay, now I felt in my heart the Lord saying, pray for protection, which comes quite naturally in such moments. So I prayed, Lord, protection. I prayed for angels. I prayed for God. I felt specific, pray for angels, pray for protection. And then God gave me scriptures, like Holy Spirit reminded me of a scripture, took me to a scripture. I think it was Psalm 61. And so I'm standing under the street lamp, and then I said, this is what the scripture says, speaking to this place and whatever's happening there, I'm saying, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And when I said scattered, all the light went off in the street. And then suddenly there was a man standing next to me, right there. So I made a strategic move to the right. So I like script, okay, be honest with you. And so I'm standing here and this guy is standing there and he's looking at me and he's saying to me, he first said to me, give me that, meaning the Bible in my hand. And I said, no, I'm not going to give you my Bible. Because you never should let go of your sword in the midst of battle. That's sort of the word is your sword. So I didn't give him the Bible. And then he said to me, read it again. So I read it again. I said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. And then he stopped me. And he said to me, that's true. God has ascended. But I tell you, 666 is coming. Beware. Then he turned around and he walked away. And as he walked away, he went like that. And the light started to go on again. So I was thinking, now where am I going to run? That was like really weird. Okay? I was there. I promise. It was really, really weird. And then I felt God saying, no, just relax. Just be at peace. Just speak my word over this place. And God started giving me prophecies and things over that place. And then later I left. And I sort of left it there. And then a few years later, amazing thing happened. You see, at that time, we were praying for buildings in that town for us as a church, as a church group. We were praying for buildings and church buildings and things. And then we heard that some of our members of the church were invited by the one's father to that private club. And so they went to that private club, but like all the other guys that were there, you can't bring your family here type of thing. But in this place, on the wall, there was this painting of another building in town, which became our offices. And bottom line, long story short, basically after that time, when I started to pray there and we were praying for buildings, in the next year or so, God opened a door for us as a church to have buildings in the town. It was basically over a donation over about 20 million rand to the property. And it was in the middle of December when everybody was on holiday. And it was sort of a miracle. That's the bottom line. It was a miracle. Within a few weeks after we got the property, somebody else jumped in and said, no, I'll pay $5 million more. I want that back. But we had it for the kingdom of God. And so what I'm trying to say is that you looking for something in the natural property. How do you get property? Well, you pray wherever God may lead you to move something in the spirit so that the kingdom can come somewhere else. So that's one of the things I realized. Because you see, there's a battle in the heavenlies. There's the powers of darkness, it's the powers of light, and the kingdom of darkness, even nice people who do not know God, doesn't want God's people or God's church to have their way. Does that make sense? I trust it does. Okay, so there's a battle in the heavenlies. Now look at this. Daniel 10. Let me show you. It's in the scriptures. You need to realize that there's something happening in the spirit. Now, Daniel was a man. He worked amongst many occultists, sorcerers, many guys who were weird and wacky. And he worked for this government, Babylonians, and later the Assyrians for many years, about 60, 70 years or so. He was working, he was there. And at some point in his career, he saw from the scriptures that God is saying that after 70 years, the Israelites who were in Babylon would then return to their homeland. That's what the prophecy said. It said 70 years. And then it says when he realized that, he went to his knees and he prayed. And he prayed, and it says here, in Daniel chapter 20, he prayed, he fasted for 21 days. And then an angel appeared to him, a fearsome angel called Gabriel. And it says there, then he said to me, this is the angel speaking, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. The first day, God heard the prayers, but there was no answer for 21 days. But after 21 days, it comes and then it says, and I have come because of your words. You see, prayer works. But then in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. What is that? Wow. Prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, an angel, Gabriel, an archangel, for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, who's that? Came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. This is a picture. Daniel is receiving a picture or a vision of what happens in the spirit realm. And so when he prayed and fasted and he continued to pray for 21 days, the angel came from heaven to give the answer. But he had to continue to pray until breakthrough. Why? Because you see, there was a prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, that represents a demonic spirit, a principality, it says, is one of the words used for them, which basically controlled the land of Persia. Okay, guys, this is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Prince of the kingdom of Persia. It was a spirit of darkness that ruled over that area. And it withstood this angel for 21 days. And then Michael, one of the other angels, archangels of God, had to come and help him because he says he's been left alone there. So it was a fearsome, fearsome battle going down. Withstood him 21 days. But as he continued to pray, breakthrough came. So often people say, this praying thing doesn't work. Well, you only tried it for a day. Try it a little bit longer. And actually believe what you are praying. Press in. Be bold. Believe what the word that God is giving you. Stand upon it. So Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. And there was the showdown in the heavenlies. But for as long as he prayed, heaven's will could be done. As long as he prayed, the breakthrough could come. If he persevered. 1 John 5:14 speaks about this confidence you and I need in the Spirit. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If you want to take your promised land in the natural, physical world, you need to win the battle in the spirit. You're speaking to your friends about Jesus, but they're not interested. It's like they're not seeing it. Can't you see it? Because I'm seeing it. Jesus is the way. He's awesome. I mean, He made us. He gave us life and breath. I mean, it's like so obvious. But they're not seeing it. Why? Because there's a spiritual force behind it that blinds the minds of people. You need to speak to that. You need to speak to that darkness. You need to speak to that deception. You need to pray so that the darkness will lift. You need to win the battle in the spirit. And then it's just going to flow. It's just going to happen. It's just going to flow. If you win it in the spirit, it's going to come through in the natural. You see, that gives one lots of confidence. Because you know that if you win it in the spirit, it doesn't matter how natural it looks. It doesn't matter if it's working or not. In the physical, I just know I just need to win it in the spirit. And it's going to come through. It's going to happen. So you need to wrestle till breakthrough. Tenacious. Fervent. Praying. As if... You see, why? Why do you need to pray? Because you on the inside, God is on the outside. You need to drop the drawbridge. You need to say, let the kingdom of heaven come to earth. If you don't do it, God can't move. There's a big responsibility, but it's a great responsibility. Okay, so prayer and fasting. I'm almost finished. Prayer, this quote from Andrew Murray. Prayer is reaching out after the unseen. Okay, so you're in the physical realm and you're reaching out, connecting with God, and then making God available to the world. You are the vessel through which God comes. Prayer is reaching out after the unseen. Fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. What does that mean? If you want to step into the spirit, you need to let go of the natural, in a sense. If you are so distracted, so consumed by the world and the things of the world, you just can't connect with God. So what? You fast. You say, Lost, no ears dead. I want to connect with God. That's one of the reasons you fast. Fasting, it helps express, deepen, confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. There's something that happens in your heart when you fast, where you deepen your resolve. I want the promised land. I want it so much, I'm going to skip a meal. I want it so much, I'm going to shut off the TV. I want it so much that I'm going to give myself completely to God. Because I'm not into religion. I am into God. I'm not into just going to church. I'm into meeting with God. And sometimes you need to fast. Sometimes you need to say, right, I'm going to set some time aside to connect with God. It's in the Bible. Fasting, it's good. Denying self. And that's the last thing I want to share. There's a beautiful parable in the Bible of wrestling, struggling. I'm sure Dion can tell us a few things about wrestling the past few weeks. Look at this. This is in Genesis 32. This is this parable about Jacob's life. And I believe it reveals to us what should happen in our prayer closets. Jacob was about, he felt he was going to die. He's going to meet his brother, and he tricked his brother many years ago. So his brother came with hundreds of guys, and Jacob was sure, I'm dead. It's over. He's going to kill me. And so he sent his family ahead. He sent his wives ahead, and with gifts and things, trying to soften his brother. And then this amazing story. It says in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, And a man wrestled with him. Say wrestle. Wrestled with him. Until the breaking of day. So it's right through the night he wrestled. Now when he saw that it did not prevail against him, the one wrestling with him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I mean, that's like the strongest joint in your body, and this person touches him there, and his joint, so his one leg is like out, but he's still wrestling, saying, I'm not letting go of you. I'm not. That's what he actually says there. He says, I will not let go, let you go, unless you bless me. I'll not let go of you. Who is this you? It was God coming down and wrestling with Jacob. And I believe God loved this. God sort of said, yeah, I want to go. But he said, I will not let you go. God, you promised you're going to bless me. You said that this is your plan for my life. I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. Bless me. Bless me. And he tackles him again. And he, no. God, bless me. And this is amazing. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob, which means sort of deceiver. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. You see, there's a place where each of us need to wrestle in the spirit. Where you need to say every day, next morning you get up again, God, it's me again. I want it. I want what you promised. I want my promised land. God, it's me again, still struggling, but I want it. God, I want my marriage to work in Jesus' name. I'm not giving, I know it's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's the root of the problem. I want breakthrough in the spirit. God, we're still struggling financially, but I know you're saying, what do you want to bless me? So God, I'm coming again. Give us breakthrough. And you wrestle again. God, the people at my workplace, they still don't know you. They still don't connect with you. They still blind to you. I'm not going to tolerate it. Not happy with it. It's not what you say in your word. It's you say you want the whole world to be saved. And so a Jacob stands up and says, I want you to bless me. I want East London to be saved. I want lives to be transformed. I want the schools to be touched. I want you to move, God. I won't tolerate anything less, God. And so you come back every day and say, God, I want it. God, bless me. God, bless us. God, give me my promised land. Give me my inheritance. I want it. God, I'm still struggling with sin, Lord, but I know this is not your plan for my life. I want breakthrough. I want breakthrough. I want breakthrough. And you wrestle it. And you wrestle it. And you get a scripture and you quote it back to God. You say, God, your word says this. Say it. This is my confidence. This is my confidence. Or are you just going to tolerate it? God says he wants his house to be a house of prayer. Why? Because it's the only way the door can be opened for God to step into this world. If you and I would pray passionately with faith, believing prayer. So I want to encourage you this week when you go to work, walk through the workplace, say, Lord, I receive my promised land today. This is mine in Jesus' name. This is my place in Jesus' name. I thank you for favor. I thank you that lives are going to be changed. It's mine. You go home. God, thank you. This is mine. My child, God, I thank you. Bless my child. This is your will. God, I receive it. And you wrestle it through with God until something moves on the inside of you. You will never be able to change anything if you're willing to tolerate it. Are you tolerating it? Are you fine? Just okay. How big is your God? Cry out to God. Cry out to God and see him move. In the process, your hip might be out of joint. We've got a few good physios in church. Welcome to go to them. In the process, there will be a brokenness in our hearts. I just know God is so speaking to me and saying, guys, I want you to pray. God, I want you to call upon the name of Jesus, the name above every other name, and lives will be changed. Joshua 1 verse 9, ending off with this. Have I not commanded you? Not a suggestion. Have I not commanded you? You want your promise land? Well, I'm commanding you. Be strong. Be confident in God. Be confident in His Word. Be confident in His willingness to answer. He is a good God. And of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love praying because I find so much hope there. Anything is possible when we meet with God. Anything is possible when we meet with God. Anything is possible when we meet with God. I want to encourage you this week to start praying. Number one, connect with God daily. Get that connection going in the morning. Spend some time praying. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm coming by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, for a connection with you. And then you take up your place as a king in the spirit. And you say, God, come into this world. Come into East London. Come and change lives. And then remember, the victory is won in the spirit, not in the natural. The victory is won in the spirit, not in the natural. Worship guys, you can come forward. Let's close our eyes. Just want to pray for us. God, we thank you. Lord, that you establish in our hearts a tenacity, God, like Jacob, a wrestling determination. Now, we're not going to settle for nothing. God, we bless you that you have set before us a promised land. A promised land. And so, Lord, I pray that wherever we might be finding ourselves, Lord, that we'll say, I won't tolerate this. This is not what God has destined for me. Lord, I pray for an awakening in our hearts, wherever we might find ourselves, that we may call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and see our God flood this earth. Oh God, I pray for this, Lord. Pray for this, God. Pray for the stirring in our hearts. To persevere and to persevere. Didn't work this week, but next week we're back again. We're doing it again. We're going at it again. Not giving up, because our God is good and breakthrough is coming. God, we declare it in the spirit. We declare it to every heart here. Breakthrough is coming if we would just persevere in God. Breakthrough is coming. And so, God, you know the mountains that the people in this church is facing, Lord. Maybe spiritual passivity. Maybe lukewarmness. Maybe sin. Maybe distractions. Oh, God, and you are looking from heaven. You're saying, if somebody would just pray. If somebody would just open the door. If somebody would just call upon your name with a little bit of faith. God Almighty, make us a praying people, a tenacious, fervently praying people. God, this world needs you. God, this world needs you. God, we need you. Help us, Lord. Empower us by your Spirit, God, to call upon your name, to call upon our God, to see your salvation, to see your deliverance, to see your healing. In Jesus' name. I just feel that in my heart. I just feel like God is saying, call upon me, my people. I will hear. I will hear. Thank you, God, that that is who you are. God, we worship you. Scripture that speaks of God is looking for a watchman on the wall, somebody that would stand in the gap for him and pray. So I want to ask if you want to start taking up that place as a watchman, a prayer, somebody that has that tenacity to pray in and day out. You want that. You want that grace. You want that empowerment to press in. Would you stand if you want that? If you want that grace, that empowerment from God to become a prayer. I know God is speaking to us as a church. He's saying, pray, guys. Call upon me and I will do great and wondrous things that you do not know. God, we worship you. And so, Father, Lord, as we stand before you, God, we bring our lives before you. As the call is going out in the Spirit, a call going out in the Spirit saying, call upon me, call upon the name of Jesus, call upon the Father in the name of Jesus. Lord, may those words start going forth from our mouths in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take a moment, just where you're standing or sitting, and just pray to God. Just whisper under your breath. Prayer must be audible. Praying in your mind is thinking about prayer. You need to speak it. There's power in the spoken word. So ask God, Lord, give me the power, give me the grace, give me the ability to pray. Just speak to God right now and ask Him. Give me the faith to believe. God, we worship you. God, we worship you. Receive. Give us the grace to pray. Give us the grace to be determined. Give us the grace to continue to pray until breakthrough. Give us the grace to not stop until breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Just repeat these words after me, just to, as a prayer of consecration unto God. And just say, Lord, I bring myself to you, God. I want to be your inside man. God, I want to open through the prayers that you lead me to pray. open the floodgates of heaven. As I partner with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, lead me, empower me in prayer. Help me in my weaknesses. And empower every word I pray or speak as you lead me. Make me an intercessor, Lord. Somebody who takes hold of heaven and brings it down to earth. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that we can commit this 3 days of fasting unto you, Lord God, as a church. And Lord, we pray for a tenacity, Lord God. We pray for a focus in the Spirit, Lord God. We pray, God, that your people will step out unashamedly, boldly, to see your kingdom come. God, we want to see your kingdom in this town, Lord. We want to see lives transformed, Lord. We want to see the grace, the goodness, the love of Christ flooding all of East London. And thank you, God, that's through us partnering with you that this will be. Help us, God. We cannot do this in our own ability. God, we worship you. Just as every eye is closed, I just felt if there's anybody here this evening and you might think, whoa, this is way off. I'm not getting any of this. And you realize in a sense that, well, maybe you don't have relationship with God. Maybe you've never committed your life to God, or maybe you've gone astray. So you were on the right track, but you've been going astray. As every eye is closed, just want to know, is there anybody here? You've not committed your life to Jesus. You're still, like I said, in that place where you sometimes actually throw a stone at God and say, well, just stay away. You're going your own way. And you realize you need to surrender to Jesus Christ, your heart and your life. If there's anybody here and you realize you need to do that, you need to commit your life to Jesus, would you raise your hand? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thanks. Bible says we must call upon the name of Jesus, and then he will come and save us. But you need to make a decision to turn to Jesus, and then he'll come do a miracle on the inside of you. So I want to ask you, is there anybody else that you know, you realize, can I just ask everybody, the saints, pray please? Anybody else? You realize you need to commit your life to Jesus. You've gone astray. Would you raise your hand? There are about 3 or 4 hands. Hallelujah. Can I ask that if you raised your hand to come forward? Just do, I'm going to pray with you. Come. If you raise your hand, just come. I just want to pray with you. Come on. You can do it 20 times. Doesn't matter. Just come. Let's give them a hand. God respects us when we take the step just to say, God, I'm not in a good place and I want to make right with you. Can I have some facilitators just standing with them? God, we worship you. What we're going to do now is what's called the power of prayer. When you call upon the name of Jesus, God says he's going to come and touch you and change you. The Bible says he makes you reborn, a new person on the inside. So we're going to pray now. We're just going to just lay down your life to Jesus and say, Lord, save me, change me, and make me new. Okay, so close your eyes and we're just going to pray. Just say this after me. Let the rest of us, you guys can do this as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess today that I am a sinner, Lord. I've lived my own way. And Lord, I realize today that there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today, I commit my life into the hands of Jesus. I surrender my heart. I surrender my whole being to the living God. And I pray, Lord, save me from my sin. Save me from my sinful nature. And make me new on the inside. Make me a new person, God. Take my life. Make something beautiful from it. I call upon the name of Jesus, the only name by which man can be saved. Thank you. You save me now. Make me a new creation. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is wonderful to make a commitment to God. Father, we commit them into your hands, Lord. I pray, God, for new life to their hearts, to their minds, to their whole beings, Lord God. May they get onto the narrow road and follow you for the rest of their lives. We cancel every lie. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. And we say, no, know him, know Jesus, and never turn away again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we worship you. I want to encourage you, if you're here this evening and you've not committed your life to Jesus, there is no life outside of him. There is no life, there is no peace, there is no joy outside of Christ. So this day, make that decision. This day, pursue him. This week, go every morning and you open your Bible and you speak to God and you make that connection. You say, God, here I am. I want to know you. I want to follow you. Amen. Father, thank you for your blessing over this congregation. Thank you for your blessing over this week. God, may we draw near to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.